You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 2nd, 2020. It is possible we will be sending more troops into the Middle East. The other day, as Iran protesters attacked our embassy in Baghdad, and Iraqi forces basically stood aside and let them do so, we sent in 100 Marines and Apache helicopters. And we've also since sent 750 troops back into the region. And if they continue these attacks, and apparently we suspect they might, we will escalate as well. We will not stand by and let them threaten U.S. lives and our property. The North Korean leader is trying to make a new threat. He's talking about what's he going to do at some point, saying I no longer am going to believe in supporting a nuclear testing moratorium, and we have a new strategic weapon we will soon release. President Trump says, I think we still have a good relationship. We'll see. Thank you, Democrats. Hey, thank you, all of you Democrats out there, for pushing this impeachment. President Trump's campaign raking in $46 million in the fourth quarter. His campaign chest now has more than $100 million. And, of course, a lot of it coming in during that impeachment frenzy. The campaign manager said the president's war chest and grassroots army make his reelection campaign an unstoppable juggernaut. Bernie Sanders also pulled in a lot of money. He did, getting something like $34.5 million over the last 3 months. And they say they got 40,000 new donors all submitting some money on New Year's Eve. By the way, Joe Biden the other day, Joe Biden trying to make sure I do something to stay relevant and trying to stay in the race somehow or another. He even suggested, when asked, would you have a Republican as a vice president? He said, well, I might. I might have a Republican as my vice president on the ticket. Well, first of all, any Republican who would sign on with Bernie Sanders is not a Republican. But Bernie Sanders say, I'm not going to do that. I will not have a Republican. No surprise there. And then there's no surprise this, with a remark out of Bloomberg, who, of course, is one of those running for the White House on the Democrat side. He is now criticizing the Texas church hero who saved 240 lives. You know the story from the other day. Gunman comes into the church service, opens fire. Members of the church had their own security force they carry. One of them pulled a pistol, more than one of them pulled a pistol. One shot and killed the attacker before he could shoot and kill anyone else. And you know what Bloomberg says? This would be your next president if you accept this kind of nonsense. Bloomberg's remark is the job of law enforcement to carry guns that kill. We just can't let the average American have guns in a crowded place. Gun control saves lives. I would like to have seen him in that church that day when the gunman comes in and does that and see how far under the bench Bloomberg was hiding. But, of course, he has his security guards around him. And it would be a crowded place, but they're not average citizens. They are his detail. I keep reading this statement. I think, where do you get off with this? Is the job of law enforcement to carry guns that kill? We can't just let the average American have guns in a crowded place. Dateline, Illinois, the lieutenant governor, as New Year, had a host of new laws go into effect in that state, one of them being you can buy marijuana for recreational use. The lieutenant governor, she was one of the first in line and sent out a message later. It's not just a new year, it's a new day. Thank you, governor, for ending prohibition and building a more equitable Illinois. So now you can buy marijuana legally in Illinois. Even if you're out of state, you still have to show a driver's license. I will remind you that it's illegal to bring it into Missouri. And I'm just wondering if the Missouri Highway Patrol is going to start posting cars waiting for vehicles coming back across from Illinois and pulling them over and say, let's see what you got. They had a four-point magnitude lightly shake in the Los Angeles area today. Around West Hollywood, Marina Del Rey, no one really hurt by this apparently. And then they got this story out of Indonesia, city of Makassar. They were worried about New Year's Eve celebrations because they knew a lot of folks were going to be having sex. And so what they decided to do is raid all the stores that would be selling condoms so they wouldn't have condoms to protect themselves and prevent births during their sex. So they raided them. They took up all the condoms they could find. Now, let me get this straight. You know they're going to have sex. Now you take away the condoms. What do you think is going to be the result? Check back on that story in 9 months.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers had opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Let's begin with a question for you. Do you think, are you willing to accept, or at least consider, that maybe this country would be better off under socialism? And what's the fascination with socialism? Why do we have so many on the left and moving farther left saying this is the way we should go in this country? Is it just about handing out freebies? Is that the bottom line, or is there something deeper, and is there something of value inside socialism? Hey, don't get angry at me. Just hear me out. Now, Bernie Sanders, of course, and Elizabeth Warren, the two of those at the top of the Democrat race for the White House that are clearly pushing socialism. Bernie began it, of course, and now here came Elizabeth to copycat, try to glob on a little bit, show that I can do it better. Well, now Bernie has since said, I have a plan to introduce Medicare for all in the U.S., and it's going to be better than Senator Elizabeth Warren's plan. Mine can happen faster. They're both trying to push us to a single-payer system, and they, again, are looking at anything they can to make this country more socialist. Medicare for all. Now, Warren claims that her plan would not result in a middle-class tax hike. Bernie's made it clear, yeah, there'll be a tax hike. Somebody's got to pay for it. He's acknowledging that. And Bernie is also admitting, as he did in a comment over the weekend, a campaign stop in New Hampshire. He basically said, if I cannot win an election on my ideas, I should get the hell out of politics. Well, now, he did not win the last time around he tried this against Hillary, so here he is again. So I don't know if he really means I should get the hell out of politics. But can he possibly win an election based on his ideas of socialism? Can any of those candidates running as socialists and yet not wanting to call themselves socialists win? Because socialism is just short of communism and 180 degrees from capitalism. The official Webster definition of socialism, a political and economic theory of social organization, which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. And similar words they find for that? Leftism, syndicationalism, consumer socialism, and other mixtures of words. Cal Thomas, writing for Fox News, brought up an interesting piece and referred to another article at the same time. He flat asked, why is socialism still so seductive to Americans? And he said the reason is surprising. And he points out you got Sanders and Warren. Both have a lot of money, and yet they are making the best they can out of condemning millionaires and other billionaires, putting them down. Forbes magazine has reported Sanders has something like $2.5 million fortune. $2.5 million. He's not poor. He's not poor whatsoever. And of course, Elizabeth Warren has her money. And what they're telling you is that, well, we got to go after the rich people. That would be them, except no, not me. Not me, it's them. Thomas refers to Cal Thomas to a book written by Amity Schlales. I hope that's correct pronunciation. Titled Great Society, A New History. And it has this fundamental finding. Socialism and its twin sister liberalism have always been about feelings rather than outcome. That is true. And so to that extent, that appears to be really the reason socialism might be so seductive for some. It is a false doctrine. It sells itself to new generations who don't know much about it. It always comes with the idea of free stuff, free stuff, free stuff, and attack the rich, attack the rich. And equity. And when they say equity, that means equity for you and those over there, but maybe not so much for them. Schlales points out that when Johnson, President LBJ, promised to end poverty in America, she writes that after the 60s, official poverty stabilized at 10 to 15%. In fact, what the war on poverty and the new flood of benefits did do was the opposite of prevent. They established a new kind of poverty, a permanent sense of downtroddenness. They washed away hope. I've always believed there are times in our country we need things like the FDR New Deal. We did. We needed to do things like that. We need the work project program. We needed war on poverty. We needed what we could at that point and things of this. But at some point, they either exceed their usefulness or they become a monster. And they're not put down. They run on as if they were always going to be the way and better thing to do. Many of you might be in unions or have been or are not. When unions were coming in and all the workplace rules were bad for the worker, low pay, minors being abused, things of this nature, yeah, we needed to have something corrected. And a lot of folks paid a price in different ways at that time. And of course, nowadays, in many cases, the union and the union bosses are not on the same page, the union membership, that is. The union bosses are taking money, if they can, from the union members and putting it into campaigns and coffers that they believe in and not necessarily what the union members believe. And sometimes they're pushing rules that end up costing jobs, not helping jobs. So are we going to have socialism be accepted because it's all about emotions? You don't have to go very far, neither in time nor distance to see the effect of socialism. Probably the most evident right now from something that had been very good to a disaster is Venezuela. Yeah, I could get into Cuba and I could get into other countries, and yes, they have had their issues, but Venezuela at one point was the fourth richest economy per capita in the world. But it did not work. And in fact, there was a headline about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, that Venezuela's president admits the economy has failed. And he told his Congress, the production models we tried so far have failed. He's a socialist in the U.S. Socialist Party of Venezuela. And admitting it's not doing the job and not doing what we thought it would do. And in his words, it doesn't work. It didn't create liberty for the people, certainly no prosperity or peace. What they have is poverty, war, riots in the street, hunger. Venezuela's inflation rate skyrocketing since 2016. Venezuela's inflation rate since 2016 skyrocketing 53,000,000%. That's staggering. Not 53% inflation increase, 53,000,000%. 9 out of 10 in Venezuela are now trapped in starvation. These facts coming from the TIER Fund that gathered a lot of these details on the Venezuela crisis. 9 out of 10 trapped in starvation, 64% of the people have lost 25 pounds on average due to malnutrition. And they were expecting by the end of last year that 5 million would get out of the country. They had to. They had to take care of their children. They couldn't get food for their children. They were dying. They were seeing the one woman was quoted as saying, when I could see the bones of my baby's body, the bones through her skin, I knew we had to get out. They've had water shortages. Our total loss of water. One Venezuelan said, I've seen crowds just collect water around leaking sewage pipes and using the sewage water to bathe and in some cases to drink. And of course, then you end up with increased cases of diarrhea, typhoid, hepatitis A. Venezuela, a socialist country where they continue to push it. And push it, and push it, and it's not working. And they had all of this wealth. Now, they had most of their export was oil. And then they decided to turn everything upside down. We still have some dealings with them, as do some other nations. But the bottom line is that, as one article on Project Help stated, Venezuela is a modern-day Holocaust. It's become a country in desolation. Many have decided to leave the country, and others less fortunate have been forced to endure extreme shortages because of what's happening. They talk about every aspect of life in that country is affected. Not only are they having to deal with uptick in cases of diarrhea, typhoid, hepatitis A, they don't have the drugs to help fight it. They don't have medicines. They don't have antibiotics. They don't have drugs for cancer, much less things like treating hepatitis A and typhoid. Diabetics, you're on your own. You got cancer, you're on your own. They say the hospitals have become scenes of chaos. Typical diet for patients, white rice. Birth mothers unable to feed their babies properly because they don't have proper nutrition. They have no breast milk. So then you have death by starvation among newborn infants. So why would people like Bernie Sanders And Elizabeth Warren continues to say, socialist is the way we should go. And if you put all this stuff in front of them, what would be their answer? Oh, well, we would do it differently. It wouldn't happen like that. Could you promise that? Can you guarantee on the threat of your life? Well, no, it wouldn't happen like that. Back to the question. Can you accept the fact, or the question, I should say, that socialism might be better for us? If you want equality, equitable spreading of money, is that what you're after? If you think that would solve everything? Those that are voting for Bernie and Elizabeth and the rest of the leftists, the AOCs, if everybody made exactly the same and no one had anything advantage, would that make you happy? Then why do you continue to ignore existing examples of where it's been pushed and failed? Sweden is a democrat welfare society, and it's being destroyed. And it's being destroyed on an interesting level and point that reemphasizes socialism is great until you run out of someone else's money. I'll break down that part of the story for you after this break, because it's just another example in a long line of examples of where socialism, an emotion, doesn't do the job. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So again, the selling point for many socialists is, hey, we're going to make things better for you. We're going to make sure you get an equal footing. We're going to take those guys on the high perch and knock them off, and everybody's going to be equal, and we'll redistribute monies. That's, as one said, just a euphemism for legalized grand larceny. You don't create wealth by stealing it any more than you do by multiplying and dividing it. But yet we've got politicians like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren still pushing it. Sweden is a democratic welfare society. And they've tried to be open. They tried to help so many folks. They want to be neutral and help out. And they've been very big when it came to taking in those who needed refugee status, asylum seekers and migrants, since 2015 migrant crisis. And yet it has overflooded their nation. And in fact, one municipality was facing bankruptcy. They've had so many come in, the mass migration coming in to take advantage of all the free stuff that you get with the Swedish government. Now they have problems in health care, the school, increased costs for supply support, housing shortages, and accelerating gang crimes. And all of it comes down to the fact that many went to Sweden because it was a welfare society. One professor at Stockholm University said, political stability in Sweden, now greatly affected by mass migration. He said, no matter what happens, no one can deny that our society has undergone significant changes as a result of the extensive migration. And these changes will permeate Swedish politics for the foreseeable future. I don't know about you, but what I see in Sweden is a smaller version of what we saw happen in Venezuela. They continue to try to meet everyone's demand, make everything equal, and just hand out and hand out until finally they don't have any more to hand out. I mentioned earlier the article by Cal Thomas, syndicated columnist. And when he's talking about one of the issues about the lure of socialism is that too many times the truth is not given to the public. They just get all the bells and whistles. He said, you can count on modern history textbooks to recall America's original sin, slavery, a stain that can never be allowed to go away. And they'll focus on that rather than the much improved lives and jobs currently experienced by contemporary African Americans. And he adds, if neither Sanders nor Warren become president, that won't mean socialism will lose in this country. There's just another generation not yet born that could be seduced by it. If we don't continue to look at history and point to examples and tell our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, this is the path you will end up on if you go down that road, they will choose that road because it seems so fine at this point. And, of course, if you want to talk about true socialists, look to Hollywood. Oh, yeah, right. That story and how they continue to attack Donald Trump when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Gambled with a man and I want me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the other night on New Year's Eve, as CNN and NNN was ringing in the New Year's Eve with Don Lemon Fruitcake serving as a host for part of it, he started talking about what I really want to see in 2020. He said, I want us to come back together as a country. I want us to stop being so sensitive. I want to get rid of the stupid racists and homophobes and bigots. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of promoting that and hearing about it. It's disgusting. He said, I want Americans to be less sensitive. And then he saw someone apparently flash a white power sign at him in the crowd, and he said, it's become toxic. I'm tired of people fighting. I'm tired of walking through the crowd, people giving me white power signs. It's disgusting. Stop it, America. That's not what we're all about. Okay, Don Lemon Fruitcake. Let's look at some examples of oversensitive, crass, racist, homophobe, bigot remarks from the left. Although you don't see them that way because they're in your corner. I have told this audience over and over again, I don't care what your skin color is, if you think you're superior to someone else because of your skin color, you're a racist. I don't care if you're as white as fresh snow or black as the dark of night, you're a racist if that's what you're deciding your worth and their worth is based upon, is your skin color. And of course, Don Lemon Fruitcake, and I use a term I want to stress to you again, not because of his sexual preference, because I could care less. I use it because he is a fruitcake. He's just nutty, crazy. And CNN gives him a prime time every night to spew his remarks. But let's look at it again. I want us to come back together as a country, he said. I'm sick of all that. Well, let's turn our attention to Hollywood. Hollywood celebrities, along with mainstream media folks, are always attacking, chastising, name-calling, slandering, and flat-out cursing in terms that I could not even begin to say on this air. Donald Trump and Trump supporters. So, Don Lemon, are you talking to them as well? If so, why don't you call them out? Why don't you go on your program and say, I'm against what Bette Midler said. You know what she said? Here's some examples of what we saw over this last year, how some left-wing Hollywood celebrities showed their rage against President Trump, his family, and you. And some of them are violent fantasies. See, they were so sure going into this year, this last year, I should point out, the Mueller report was going to lock Trump in a coffin and bury him. Didn't work. Now they're, of course, looking to the impeachment thing, and all it's done is increase his campaign contributions. But that doesn't stop them. And again, their rage against is not just named at Trump, but you. And be you black, white, yellow, green, male, female, transgender, supporting Trump, they put you in the same box as Donald Trump. And Bette Midler wrote a tweet about Trump at one point, saying, I hope someone would give him a shiv. I mean shove. She knew exactly what she meant when she wrote it, because then she left it on her tweet machine and then deleted it. If she meant to say, give him a shove, she wouldn't have put the word shiv and then say, I mean shove. She had the chance to correct it on the spot, but she didn't, because she meant exactly what she said. Barbara Streisand shared an image of Pelosi impaling Trump with the heel of her shoe, killing Donald Trump. Jim Carrey was attacking the Alabama governor, Kay Ivey, because, again, that's someone that's in Trump's camp. He posted a graphic image of Ivey, who signed that Pro-Life Human Life Protection Act, of her being sucked into a tube, and he said, I think if you're going to terminate a pregnancy, it should be done sometime before the fetus becomes governor of Alabama. Is there any civility in that, Don Lemon Fruitcake? Is there, you hear any civility? Do you hear them taking America in a place it shouldn't be going? Or is this what you're saying? It's disgusting. Stop it, America. Is that what you're saying to them? No, you're not to them. And we know that. Robert De Niro. Now, again, a lot of these folks I name, I've watched their performances. I admire their ability, be it on the stage, in music, on the movies. I give them credit for that. And they are entitled to have their political views. But it's not enough just to have a view. They want to be insanely crazy with it. And I have no problems with talking about killing and shiving and stomping and murdering Trump and his family. That's a far cry from civility, which I assume Don Lemon was trying to push the other day. Robert De Niro, of course, appearing now in The Irishman. He was on the program with Michael Moore and talking about Trump, saying pigs have dignity. He has no dignity. He's a disgrace to the human race. I'd like to see a bag of S right in his face. Hit him right in the face like that. Let the pictures go all over the world. I was not an Obama supporter. Did not vote for him either time. But I never felt compelled to say that kind of remark about President Obama. I disagree with his policies. I think he misled us a lot. I think he was wrong on many points. But I never would have said he's a disgrace to the human race. But De Niro can do that. And Don Lemon fruitcake with CNN talking about, I want to get rid of the stupid racist homophobes and bigots. There's one for you right there, Don Lemon. Why'd you call out De Niro and say, come on the air because we need to discuss what you did because you're not helping our country. But of course, Don Lemon fruitcake isn't either. And Cher, talking about one of the detention camps. And she said it's a breakout of chicken pox, measles, children, live outdoors in Texas heat, bad food, dirty water, unsanitary conditions, physical, emotion, sexual abuse. And she's blaming him? She's blaming Trump? He didn't bring them across the border. Now we're trying to take care of them, and they're not living in what she just described. And in fact, many times, members of ICE rescue children from drowning in the Rio Grande, or rescue them when they're dying of thirst and heat in the deserts of Arizona. Alec Baldwin, he wanted to see Trump physically fall. That's one of my Christmas wishes. I just want to see him fall down. Here's another one, Steve Colbert, fantasizing about choking Attorney General Barr because he didn't make the Mueller report as damning as they wanted. Acting Mickey Rourke wanted to give the president a left hook from hell. Tom Arnold, fantasizing, standing over Donald Trump Jr.'s corpse. And don't forget the remarks they made about Barron, President Trump's child, his youngest, and pointing out that what they'd like to see done with him. One of the Hollywood elite had talked about it. We should grab him up and throw him into a den of pedophiles. There's no civility on the left. There's no even-handedness. There's no call for let's corral our own before we go after anyone else. There's not one effort on the left to say, we had to stop contributing because our remarks and the things I just read to you are also contributing. We're wishing death upon the president. We're wishing he falls down and can't get up. We're wishing he gets hit in the face with a bag of horse manure. So when Don Lemon Fruitcake was on CNN the other day, and let me read a statement again because it bears repeating. Not because it's so powerful, but because he doesn't really mean it. Not for you, in the sense of what we need in this country. And he doesn't mean it to abuse, I should say, call out and chastise the Hollywood elite. He's not, don't want to do that. Don't want to burn that bridge. But he said, I just want us to come back together again as a country. That would be great. I want us to stop being so sensitive. I tend to agree with that. This political correctness thing is a big issue that's out of control. I want to get rid of the stupid, racist, and homophobes and bigots. I'm for that as well, Don. On either side. And he goes on to say, I'm sick of that. I'm sick of promoting that and hearing about it. It's disgusting. It's become toxic. It's disgusting. Stop it, America. That's not what we're about. Let me know, folks. Let me know when you see Don Lemon Fruitcake have any of these actors on the air with him and praises him and they all smile and laugh and to see if he asks one question, charges and criticizes them one time about their bigoted, racist remarks coming from their mouths and wishing death upon the president and his family. You call me on that. You let me know. I'm not holding my breath. Take a break. I want to come back and talk about the police officers we lost this last year.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far
from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
First responders, whatever their duty, be it with EMS or fire police, are always facing danger. And many die in the line of duty. And firefighters, in 2015, 68 died. 32 of those were volunteer. 2016, 69 died. 2017, 60, the number went down. 2018, 64. I haven't seen the number of firefighters who died in the line of duty this last year. And sometimes it's a matter of they died while they were inside a house and it collapsed on them, or a building or structure. Sometimes because of an accident en route to the scene of a fire, or a fake report of a fire. And sometimes a health condition takes them down while they're on duty. Doesn't make any difference. They were on duty at the time it happened. It's like when we lose a member of our armed forces on a training exercise. They were not killed in combat, but they were on duty, and they died at that point in service to this country. They should always be recognized for that. Police officers, however, are, and those in law enforcement, are often targeted, directly targeted. And again, their deaths may or may not be related to a crime, or it might be an accident, or it could also be a health issue for them while they're on duty. But they're considered among those who died on the line of duty. 2017, 129 officers died. The last report from 2018 was 144. That's federal, state, local law enforcement died in the line of duty. The year we just concluded, as of the last day of 2019, 131 died while on duty. Causes include homicides, fighting crime, medical emergencies, car crashes. Maybe their fault, maybe not. The bottom line is they were serving their community and they died in that process. And from what I've been able to gather, the last member of the law enforcement community who died as we closed out the decade the other night was a Texas sheriff's deputy. Also had been an Army vet. And he was one of three deputies honored for heroism in 2018. He and two others rescued a woman from a burning home. That was 2018. So the other day, in Panola County, East Texas, along the Louisiana border, 28-year-old Deputy Chris Dickerson was carrying out what they think at this time was a traffic stop. Details of what happened exactly still not clear. All they know is that they suddenly got a call on his police radio from a civilian who said, "You got a deputy lying shot on the side of the road out here. You need to get out here right away." That happened near Gary City, Texas. Then a citizen heard about the crime, called 911, spotting a suspect's vehicle heading for Shreveport. The suspect was tracked down following a high-speed chase and arrested. They don't know, again, exactly at this point what took place, other than 28-year-old Texas Sheriff's Deputy Chris Dickerson was shot down on the roadside, hit multiple times with gunfire. They got him to the hospital, but it was too late. He had been with that department for 8 years, married, two young children. Every officer, when they suit up and leave their home each day, they pray and hope they're going to be able to come home and see their family again. And family members are just as concerned. Most of the time they make it back. But obviously not in all cases. We have in the St. Louis area Guns and Hoses campaign each November raising money to help support families of law enforcement and fire and EMS personnel killed in the line of duty. Many of you contributed, taking part. And we have other agencies and efforts across the nation. We can never, never really repay them for what they gave. All we can do is step up and do what we can to help the families they leave behind. This is the beginning of a new year, a new decade. I would like to think the deaths of reference homicide and crime against police would go down. I don't have any great optimism. So keep all of them in your prayers. Be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.